You're listening to Byline on WFPL, and we're going to switch gears now. We brought in most of our WFPL news team to talk about some of the local and regional stories. Philip is still here with us. Erica Peterson, WFPL Environment Reporter, now joins us, and Devin Katayama is back with us.
It's good to be back.
Good,
hey.
Good to see you all.
Let's welcome back.
All right, welcome back. Not time to sing yet. We'll do that at the end of the show. Let's start with you, Erica. A task force commissioned by Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher to study cost savings between the Metro Sewer District, Louisville Water, and Metro Public Works will wrap up in the next few days. What are some of the options they're considering?
Well, and of course, this task force, Rick, is one that was commissioned by Mayor Greg Fisher after there's a state audit of the Metropolitan Sewer District, and it showed a lot of waste, a lot of some managerial problems. So they've been restructuring that. But the task force has kind of narrowed it down. There are a couple of options. One is just sort of agreements between all three agencies where they could share things like, say, fleet maintenance. You know, you only need one group of mechanics, say, or purchasing. Things like that. And that would be accomplished through an interlocal agreement, which would mean one of the agencies would handle it and they would have agreements to provide the service to the other ones. And so it's kind of a spectrum. There's a limited kind of agreement. There's sort of a bigger agreement where they would share more. And then there's a full out merger. And that is still on the table. They're still considering a merger or acquisition between MSD and Louisville Water. And they've kind of outlined how much money those would save, and honestly, all of the options would save a pretty significant amount of money.
When will the group issue its recommendations?
They are supposed to issue them on Tuesday to Mayor Greg Fisher. And, of course, these are recommendations. The mayor can choose to follow them or not, or adopt some and not others.
All right. Well, let's talk Occupy. Devin and Philip, you both have been reporting on this. Occupy Louisville had a campground downtown for several months. Their permit not renewed, and now there was an ordinance introduced that would kind of crack down on camping. What's going on, Philip?
Well, Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher, he's introduced this ordinance that basically would forbid residents from camping overnight in spaces, public spaces that are 3 acres or less. Now, as Devin has been reporting for the past couple of weeks, months, when Occupy Louisville was moved from, I believe, Jefferson Square to Founders Square, mm-hmm. Off of Muhammad Ali, there was this issue of, is that a metro park? While the city certainly could have this back and forth with the permit process, there was a question of, well, can they stop protesters from even being in the park overnight because Founders Square is not considered officially a metro park with certain regulations? Obviously, Occupy Louisville left peacefully, which was, you know, something that didn't happen in other cities like Atlanta, Chicago, et cetera, but did happen here. And now, as the mayor says, he's citing public safety, health concerns, saying that there's a loophole in the law. We need to close that by creating this legislation that basically will say you cannot camp overnight in a space this small for a sort of event. Many people are saying this is certainly targeting Occupy Louisville. That's what many of the protesters still affiliated with the movement are saying. But the legislation has been sponsored by two Democrats on the Metro Council, who obviously Democrats hold a clear majority on that council, Councilman Rick Blackwell and Councilwoman Madonna Flood, who, Devin, I believe you talked to earlier this week.
Yeah, and if you ask the council members, they say, you know, health reasons, just like the mayor stated in his press release earlier this week. Councilman Blackwell said infrastructure, you know, Occupy Louisville, when they left, they did have to do some resodding in the area, and they also did owe still about over $300 bill, electricity bill, which I don't even think has been paid yet. So there's that aspect of it, too. The idea that when Occupy left, they didn't really weren't held accountable for the damage that they did to that area. Now, I spoke with some Occupy members, and they said, well, the park wasn't really recognized, or the area wasn't really recognized as a significant part of the city to begin with. Now they actually got to resod and beautify the area. So that, you know, that's a plus for the city. But this is an interesting ordinance because Councilman Blackwell and Councilwoman Madonna Flood, their districts are, you know, miles from downtown. Mm-hmm. So you raise the question of, you know, why would their names be put on the ordinance to begin with? But I do think it's going to be interesting to see how council members react when this is talked about later on in the session.
Where does the ordinance stand now? It's just been introduced, right?
Yeah, it had its first reading.
The first reading was on Thursday, and I'm told it'll be assigned to the Public Safety Committee. As far as council reaction to this, obviously, you know, council members haven't had a chance to really get through the legislation and read it. I did talk to Councilwoman Attica Whitson-Scott, who was appointed to the council last year. She represents District 1. She says she has some serious questions for this ordinance. She says she wasn't interested really in taking away people's free speech rights. Now, the mayor obviously says that we're not taking away people's free speech rights or First Amendment rights at all. But for Councilwoman Scott, the issue is, listen, instead of trying to create a barriers and walls for Occupy Louisville, why doesn't the mayor want to meet with these people, talk to them about the issues that they raise? She says that Occupy Louisville has certainly raised some interesting issues about housing, inequities in education, poverty and all in the city of Louisville. So for her, and Councilwoman Scott being a former activist herself in many ways, she sees this as, she basically questioned Mayor Fisher on this issue of compassion. I asked her, I said, well, is it compassionate for the city to, you know, create this new legislation? And she said she wonders oftentimes what that word really means, that if we really were fulfilling the word by one hat saying, oh, we're going to do this sort of compassionate week-long events and volunteering, but at the same time, when there's a group of people who are talking about poverty and those who are least among us, trying to shut them down, she says that sometimes this issue of compassion is really becoming questionable in the city of Louisville. So for her, it's not clear if Councilwoman Scott has rallied enough support maybe to stand up to this legislation. She obviously has some questions for it. She wants to meet with the co-sponsors about it, but it's not pretty clear yet what way the council will lean. Now, I did talk to Councilman Ken Fleming of the Republican Caucus, the chairman of the Republican Caucus. He says that Occupy Louisville did damage that property. They should be held responsible for it. I believe, Devin, that the mayor's office is actually trying to charge Occupy protesters for the cost of resodding the $7,000. I don't know how, Councilwoman Scott raised this question. I don't know how you can charge and find to get a homeless person or a protester to pay for the sodding themselves when that was a government issue.
It seemed like it was going to be a difficult task. Councilman Blackwell had the same issue or had the same question. How do you charge, who's held accountable for this? Somebody was on the permit, but is that who is going to be charged?
Is that
for
the person who's held responsible?
Right, exactly.
And it seems for some activists that they've said that this is basically penny pinching by the city's part. So there's this debate here whether did Occupy Louisville create this problem by being in Founder Square, or did the city create the problem by putting them in an area where they didn't really have a regulation to begin with, so now you're trying to control and basically have a one-up on future movements that want to be in these spaces.
Well, we'll see how the ordinance plays out in the Metro Council. We'll transition from one park, PARK, to another, PARC. Gabe's going to send me an invoice for that. He thought of it first. The Parking Authority of River City, because they're, Devin, cracking down. They're beginning to enforce the new policy on parking scofflaws.
Yeah, this week, Monday is when they started. Essentially, what they're doing is scanning every car that's parked downtown, whether you're parked legally or illegally, and they are checking to see if you have 3 parking tickets or more. If you have 3 or more, you're going to get one of those immobilization boots, which is an ordinance or a law that they've had on the books for a while. Is if you got scanned and you had 3 more tickets, you would get this boot, but they never enforced it. Part of that was not, if cars were parked illegally is when they would really scan the car. But now every car is getting scanned. So if you're parked downtown, this is going to be the new norm. And I guess from now on out.
Obviously, they want to generate some more revenue from this. How much are we looking at?
Well, they said that they've had about 19,000 unpaid parking tickets. I followed up today. They gave me the most recent numbers for how many vehicles they booted. And can we take a guess, Philip? What do you guess?
Oh, as the parking wars escalate, I'm assuming dozens at this point.
Erica?
Well, I know the answer. So
okay, yeah, you know the answer.
Oh, you're cheating.
Okay. All right. I will say 85.
No, it's 33 vehicles is what they've booted. They raised $6,400. But normally they boot 1 to 2 vehicles a day. So you can kind of get a sense for, at least in the beginning, they mean business this week. We'll see about next week.
Wasn't there an attorney, Rick, you might remember this, a few years ago who sued Metro government over this issue of parking tickets? I haven't heard from this attorney since then. That was back in 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. Is anyone, I guess, lawyers or any residents bring up the issue of, does the city have the legal right to boot and to, what the lawyer accused at the time, stealing my car?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good follow-up question.
That played out, but I can't think on the spot what happened.
I forget what the court result was, but I know that was a big issue about it during Abramson's tenure.
We'll find out. And Eric, I want to turn to you. I'll give you the final word, just to have a little time left before we run out of time. The Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet announced late last week that it would immediately raise the bonds coal companies pay on surface mines. First of all, what are these bonds for?
Well, this is kind of a dense subject to end on, I guess. But basically, what happens when a company wants to mine, they have to put down a bond for reclamation. And they take out this bond. And the idea is that if the company goes bankrupt or for some reason doesn't reclaim like it's supposed to under the law, meaning, planting trees, replacing soil, things like that, the bond is used to reclaim the land.
And what prompted the state to raise the
Well, the state, it hasn't been raised in about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And the state has been working on this for a while, I guess, but hasn't been able to successfully get a compromise. But of course, like a lot of things that prompt change, the federal government came in and said basically they threatened to take over Kentucky's surface mining program if this change wasn't made, which they can do under law. The state has primacy over the surface mine program, but the federal government has oversight and they can come in and do that. So now it's raised, they've raised a bunch of the things with emergency regulations. They're working on the final regulations. And a good benchmark, I think, is the minimum bond used to be $10,000, which wasn't enough really to reclaim anything. And now it is $75,000.
So what, if any, effect did this have on the industry, the coal industry?
It's hard to say. Right now, Bill Bissett of the Kentucky Coal Association said, you know, he's not thrilled about it, but, you know, recognizes that something had to be done. But we'll see what comes down as far as final regulations, which will probably be something that will be legislated during the next legislative session.
All right. That's going to wrap up our roundtable here. Erica Peterson, David Katayama, Philip M. Bailey, thanks for joining us. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Rick.
Rick.